Well, good morning and welcome again to Langeberg Evangelical Fellowship's online service. It's hard to believe that this is already our fifth Sunday of doing this online, and it's definitely a new world. And we're just very thankful again for the technology that's available that allows us to do this and that you can watch in the comfort of your own home. And so we're glad that you've joined us, whether it's Sunday morning or afternoon or whenever. Thank you for joining us and being part of our service. This is also the second Sunday of Easter, and so we continue in the joy of the resurrection. For a call to worship, I want to read just a few verses from Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures evermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity to gather, even in this way, to worship you, to praise you, to hear from your word. We thank you for the privilege that we have to come before you. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that the Spirit's here. Wherever two or three are gathered, there you are. And even over the distance that we have in this new way of doing a service, Lord, you're still with us. And we just thank you for that promise. We thank you for the promise of the Spirit. And so, Lord, we just pray now for your blessing upon this service. Lord, we just pray that you would use it and that we would be able to set aside those things that distract us, and that we will be able to fix our minds and our hearts on you for these next few moments. So thank you, Lord, for being here, and thank you that we can once again meet as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read this morning as a prep for the sermon a text from the book of Acts. And we're going to be looking at chapter 16, and I will read verses 11 to 15. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and on the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So I want to speak for a few minutes this morning from this text, and I've titled it Open Hearts. In her memoir about the journey from being a committed lesbian to a committed Christian, Rosaria Butterfield says that as a non-Christian, her impression of evangelical Christians was that they were poor thinkers, judgmental, scornful, and afraid of diversity. After publishing a critique of an evangelical Christian group in her local newspaper, she received an enormous volume of polarized responses. Placing an empty box in each corner of her desk, she sorted hate mail into one and fan mail into the other. Well, then she received a two-page response from a local pastor. It was a kind an inquiring letter, she said. It had warmth and civility to it, in addition to its probing questions. She couldn't figure out which box to put the letter in, so it sat on her desk for 7 days. It was the kindest letter of opposition that I had ever received. Its tone demonstrated that the writer wasn't against her. Eventually, she contacted the pastor and became friends with him and his wife. They talked to me in a way that didn't make me feel erased. Their friendship was an important part of her journey to faith. Instead of bringing condemnation, this pastor offered kindness and warmth. Sometimes a simple act of kindness can bring huge returns, even eternal ones. Instead of closing their hearts because of this woman's criticism, the pastor and his wife opened their hearts and hands to reach out to her. Today, we're going to look at a very short story from the book of Acts about a woman named Lydia who also opened her heart. In this story, we see that when our hearts are touched by God, He will open our hearts and hands to Himself and to others. Well, there's not a lot of content here, at least in terms of detail. There are principles to be learned from this woman's life, and today we will consider three. However, first, some context. While still in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, the Apostle Paul had a dream in which the Lord revealed to him that he should leave Asia and travel to Macedonia, which was on the European continent. In obedience to the Holy Spirit, he and his companions jump a boat and travel to Macedonia, which is a journey detailed in the first two verses of our text. It's not until they come to the city of Philippi that they stop and see if they can find an opportunity to share and preach the gospel. Philippi is a unique city in that it was designated as a Roman colony. It was a retirement place for Roman soldiers. Everyone who lived there was considered a Roman citizen and received tax benefits from Rome as well. Because it was a main trading center along the major Roman highway, Paul probably thought this would be a great place for the gospel to get a foothold in Europe. Most commentators also believe that Philippi was the hometown of Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. Consequently, they, it says, stayed there for several days. Paul and his companions probably asked around in order to find out where this place of prayer was located outside of the city, near a small river. We can assume from this information that there were a few Jews living in Philippi because there was no synagogue. Since to have a synagogue, a city needed to have at least 10 Jewish men. And the synagogue would have been the usual place Paul would have sought out. Typically, when he went to a new city, the first place he went to was the synagogue where he would preach the gospel to the Jews. But in a place where there was no synagogue, it was typical for Jews to gather for worship in a secluded, sheltered place of prayer, somewhere outside the city and near a source of water. On the Sabbath, then, Paul and his companions walk out to the river where it says they expect to find this place of prayer. Apparently, there are only women there, but upon finding the location, the men engage with them in conversation and eventually share the gospel with them. So let's move on now to the principles. And here's the first one that we can get from this story. God finds a way to touch those who have a heart for Him. God finds a way to touch those who have a heart for Him. One of the women who were at the river that day was Lydia. Now, many of us assume that Lydia was a woman of means because she is described as a dealer of purple cloth and one who came from the city of Thyatira. Now, Thyatira was especially famous for its purple cloth, a luxury item associated with princes and wealth throughout the Mediterranean culture. Lydia was possibly an agent for some of her hometown manufacturers, and sales were probably quite profitable. However, most importantly, it says, she was a worshiper of the God of Israel, and the Lord opened her heart to Paul's message. She was the first convert to Christianity in Europe, and interestingly enough, she obviously was a woman. There were others in the book of Acts who were described as God-fearers and worshipers of God, the true God of Israel. The Ethiopian eunuch was one, and the centurion Cornelius was another. Both were met by God in miraculous ways and who opened their hearts to the message of the gospel. God orchestrated the meeting of Paul and his companions with Lydia that day. He moved them to seek out and to find the remote place of prayer where God was able to open her heart. Hungry hearts, open hearts, God finds a way to touch them and draw them to himself. We have here an example of how God works in conversion. The human agent, Paul, presented the message, but it says it was the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, who opens the heart to respond to the message. We cannot, in our own human strength or ability or power of persuasion, open the heart of anyone to receive the gospel. It is the Spirit's work alone. We have a part, however, and that is to present the message. I found this quote. It says, "When God sends us somewhere to minister, he has someone ready to listen." If you have a heart for God, he will find a way to touch and to minister his grace to you. So often the issue with us is closed hearts that have become a stronghold against God's desire to touch us and to open our hearts to his message. So I urge you, have an open heart before God. The second principle we find in this story is that this: service is the natural response to those who know him. Service is the natural response to those who know him. When she, the text says, when she, Lydia, and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. Upon being baptized, Lydia immediately extended an invitation of hospitality to Paul and his companions, even though in reality they were yet strangers to her. But motivated by her joy in receiving the gospel, her natural response was to welcome them into her home, where they remained for the duration of their stay in Philippi. Now, if you notice here that she had to persuade. She said, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." In other words, if my conversion you think was authentic, well, then come and stay with me. And she persuaded us, the writer says. Obviously, there was some reluctance here. And it could be because they just didn't want to impose on her. It could also be that she was a Gentile and they were Jews. And typically, that would not happen. Now, of course, with the gospel, that it wouldn't be a problem and it wouldn't have been for Paul, but maybe they just wondered what it would look like. The other possibility is we don't know whether Lydia was a married woman. It seems like she wasn't. She was either a widow or a single woman, and having four guys show up at her house staying there, maybe they thought that might pose a problem. But she's persuaded them and persisted, and so they go home with her. Each person who claims to be a Christian should be actively involved in some level of service for the kingdom of God. One commentator puts it this way: at conversion, there is an immediate participation in the ways of the Lord. The moment a Christian has found the new joy of heart, there is a desire to share or to help. Authentic conversion should produce in us the desire to serve. It should be a natural outflow of our new joy. Sadly, it not always is. I know of a church who once a year has what they call Purge Sunday, where they ask those who are not actively engaged in serving and have no intention to serve to actually find another church. They're not interested in pew fillers. I've read that they can lose up to 200 people when they have that Sunday. The biblical call to service is not presented as an option, and it should be a natural response of a changed heart. If we look in the book of Ephesians, I do have it marked. Ephesians chapter 2, there's a very well-known verse here, and it says this. Listen to this. It says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Okay, most times we stop there. If you continue on, he said, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So there it is, right, very clear in the scripture. We are created for good works and to serve. Lydia's response to her new faith in Jesus was hospitality. That she may have been a woman of means is suggested in that she had a place large enough to house at least four men and to feed them for a number of days. But we don't know that for sure. All we know is that she extended the gift of hospitality, and God used that gift mightily. Hospitality was greatly valued in the world of the New Testament, and hosts played a very important role in the mission of the church in Acts. Often they were even named because they were considered key partners in the missionary enterprise. Hospitality can and should play an important role in the mission of the church today, to both strangers and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sadly, it's not what it used to be. I remember an experience a number of years ago when I went to first trip to Arizona, actually. We went down there with my parents, and we stayed at a condominium down there. And one Sunday morning, we looked for a church and found one. And after the service, some people who were sitting near to us came up to us and began a conversation. And in the conversation, they found out we were Canadians, and my mother was really impressed with the citrus trees. And the lady said, "Oh, we got grapefruits and oranges in our backyard. We can't use all of them. You can have some if you want." And then she said, "Well, why don't you just come over for lunch, and then you can pick some." Well, my mother, who grew up in southwest Saskatchewan in the dirty 30s, Dust Bowl, when she saw those grapefruits and oranges hanging off those trees, she thought she had died and gone to heaven. And, you know, it's funny because I don't know how many bags of fruit we picked. We got put everything we could get into our car and thought we could get home with. But, you know, Don and I have traveled a fair amount, and we visit a lot of churches. And we've never had that experience again. I mean, we're usually happy if we can get somebody to talk to us, let alone invite us out for lunch. There's not the same level of hospitality in the church that there used to be. Even within our Christian culture, we don't have the same level of opening up our homes to others. And I think we are the losers of that. Here's a quote. "A key to recovering hospitality in the church's life is to liberate it from the performance trap. When hospitality becomes performance, it becomes a strain on the host, it hinders true fellowship, and it makes both the hosts and the guests feel uneasy." When you think your house needs to be spotless before you invite in guests, you're never going to do it. And why worry about it? Because your guest house is not spotless either. So don't buy into that lie. Maybe your act of service is not hospitality, but you do have abilities that the church can use and needs. For a body to work, every part must be serving the other parts and pulling their weight. If you are not serving, if you are not working in your gifting, you are actually weakening the church body. Go to 1 Corinthians 12 and read what Paul says there using the analogy of the body. We are all called to service and good works, and they should be a natural response to those who know Jesus. Is that true of you? Our third principle that we can see today from the story of Lydia is this. Small kindnesses can have eternal effects. Small kindnesses can have eternal effects. Lydia's small act of kindness towards Paul and his companions had lasting and eternal effects. If we jump to verse 40 in the same chapter, it says, "After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them." There is good reason to believe that the church began to meet in her house, and that Lydia's home became the center for Christian outreach and worship in the city of Philippi. It's also believed by many commentators that Lydia became a major contributor not only to the ongoing work in Philippi, but to missionary activity of Paul at large. She became one of his largest supporters. Through the beachhead established for the gospel in Philippi and the support given by that church, if you read in the book of Philippians, one of the reasons Paul wrote that letter was to thank them for the support that they had been so faithful in giving to him. So through that beachhead in the city and the support given by the Philippian church, the gospel was spread throughout the European continent. Small kindnesses, eternal effects. Each of us, like Lydia, has been called by the Lord to invest our lives to make a difference for eternity. We have been called to present our resources, our abilities, our gifting, and our very lives to the Lord. Even our simple acts of kindness can inspire others and those whom we don't even know. Jesus taught us only when we give our life away for his sake do we find it. What do you have to offer him? What do I have? Remember the story of the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish? Jesus took his small, unselfish offering and fed over 5,000 men and their families as well. God can take your small acts of kindness and do great things with them. This is a key element of his economy. Remember my opening story. Remember this lady who she describes this response from the pastor as a kind and inquiring letter. It was the kindest letter of opposition that she had ever received. We have a lot of people in our world today that we disagree with lifestyles and things like that. How do we treat them? We will never, if we treat them self-righteously or without kindness, we will never have an opportunity to share the grace of God with them. In this season of pandemic, we have a great opportunity to do small, simple acts of kindness for our neighbors and our community. Just think, just a random act of kindness to a neighbor who is closed to the gospel may be just the thing the Lord can use to begin to soften their heart. And maybe someday in the future, they will receive Christ. And boy, that is an eternal effect. Showing kindness will break down walls. It is hard to resist. Even those who are really hard-hearted, showing kindness to them is very difficult for them to resist. So what are some ways we can show kindness during this unprecedented time? Well, here's just a few ideas. Let your neighbor or friend know that you are available to talk or pray with them at any time. Especially stay in contact with those who are living alone and probably fearful. Ask them what their greatest fear is right now and pray specifically for that. And make it a phone call. Don't use e-media. Don't text. Don't send an email. They need to hear a human voice. Ask them if they can think of any good things that have come out of this situation right now in order to help them bring about a change of their focus. There are good things that are happening in the midst of this pandemic. Get their focus on them. What are the good things? Take them a roll of toilet paper, or maybe two. Take a meal or a care package over to someone who is alone or who is struggling with health issues. Support local businesses and thank them for being willing to work and serve the community at this time. Shop for a senior. Offer to help shop for food and pick up medications for seniors and others at risk. Lena, who is the economic development for the town, is trying to set up that, organize that right now. You could phone her if you would be willing to volunteer to help shop for seniors or deliver medications. Finally, express your appreciation to someone who is working in healthcare. Many are doing long hours and are setting themselves in dangerous situations at times. They never really know. Also, turning our thoughts to serving other people will help us alleviate our own fears because we take the focus off of ourselves and put it on to others. So be creative. Ask the Lord for ideas, what he might help you to do for your neighbor or your community. We should be God's hands and feet in these days. Small kindnesses can have eternal effects. When our hearts are touched by God, he will open our hearts and hands to himself and to others. Lord, we thank you that you find ways to touch those who have a heart for you. You are looking for faith. Help us to desire to be the kind of servant Jesus was, and that as our relationship with him grows, so will our hearts of service. Open our hearts to our neighbors and friends these days with random acts of kindness, and may you use them for eternal purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
So Pastor Dennis just talked about being kind and helping others. I'd like to give the children something to watch that might help them remember why it's good to be kind and helpful. Do you know that when we practice kindness, it can spread? When your brother or sister shares with you and makes you happy, then that goes to someone else. You make them happy. You can share with them, and then they might share with somebody else, and it just kind of spreads. The opposite is also true. When someone yells at you, you're more likely to yell back at them, and then they get mad, and then it makes them yell back, and then they go yell at somebody else, and then that person gets mad, and then that person goes and kicks the dog, which chases the cat and the poor cat, and it all started with one person yelling. Well, the same thing can happen when we help others. It just grows and it spreads, and it's a good thing, especially when we're home so much right now. So here's a little experiment that I would like to do for you. I guess I don't need the mic when I do this. But this is what happens when you practice kindness. It grows and it grows and it grows. And it spreads and it spreads and it spreads. And hopefully that can help you remember that kindness is a good thing and we need to spread it. We need to get more of it. And especially during this time when we're stuck at home so much, it's really important right now to be kind to each other so that it can grow and so that it can spread as well, just like our experiment here. Okay, thank you, and God bless.
We want to go into just a time of prayer now, a pastoral prayer. And so I'll ask that you would join me in your heart. Father, we come before you again, another Sunday in which we are having church electronically. And Father, as we wrestle through this situation, help us not to just see the negative, but to see the positive, the way you are working through your church and through your people in these days, the way people are stepping up to the plate to help others. Lord, we're grateful for all of these things, and we thank you for them. Once again, we thank you for the opportunity we're having to even hold this worship service in absentia. And so we are grateful for this technology. Lord, we want to bring you before you this morning, the leaders of our country. Lord, we pray for our Prime Minister. We pray for wisdom. We pray that you would help him to seek wisdom. We pray for the premiers of all the provinces. Lord, we pray as each one are making decisions and for the good of their people and their province. Lord, lead them and guide them. We pray for the President of the United States. Lord God, the White House in general, Lord, we pray that they would look to you for wisdom. And I pray there would be an open ear to the church and to believers. And we pray for wisdom there. Lord, you want to lift up our seniors and the nursing homes that are just being devastated across our nation through this virus. Lord, we cry out for mercy in these situations. We pray for workers. We pray for wisdom for local authorities and how to deal with this. God, it's so sad to see our seniors having to suffer and die so often alone. And we just cry out for your mercy in this situation. Father, we pray for doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, all those people who are putting in long hours and working hard to save people's lives and putting their own lives at risk. And once again, we want to lift them up to you for your blessing, your protection, Lord. And we want to express our gratitude for their selfless acts in these days. We pray also for those who are frontline workers in terms of just providing essential services for us, Lord, who in a sense are, you know, putting their lives on the line and putting themselves in danger by doing these acts of service. So we just pray for your protection on them, and particularly the ones in our own community here, Lord. We ask your protection on each one. So, Lord, we just we come before you again, and as your people, we're asking we humble ourselves and pray, and we recognize this shows us how we're not in control. And we rest in the fact that you're in control, but we know you are sovereign, that you can stop this. And so we ask for your mercy for the world, who don't deserve your mercy, of course, but we ask for your mercy, and that you would stop this virus and or bring a vaccine or some kind of antidote for it, Lord. But we submit to your will in this. But Lord, we also ask that you would be using this to have people think deeply about their life and how quick everything changes. And may this be a lesson that we learn and think very deeply about. So we just pray your spirit would be drawing people to yourself, that they would be looking to you for answers and would find ultimate answers, not just answers for the virus, but ultimate answers to their life through relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, Father, I just pray right now, too, for this congregation, for every person who is part of this congregation in particular. Father, I just pray for your blessing over them. If they have physical needs, if they have emotional needs, if they're dealing with anxiety and fear, Holy Spirit, we just pray your comfort and your presence for them, that they would know you are God who's promised to never leave or forsake us. So I just pray for each one, for those who may be having a physical need, this are in trouble physically, Lord, I just pray your healing power for them in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we just, so grateful that we know you and we can trust you. And we just want to pray. I want to pray, too, for those who are watching this, who are not necessarily associated with this church in any way. Lord, I just pray you'd minister to them, too, whatever their needs might be. Pray for your touch for them. So, Lord, we give you praise. We exalt you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we pray that you would help us to be your people in this day, to be your hands and feet, to look for ways in which we can serve other people, our neighbors and our communities, and take the light of Jesus Christ with us wherever we go. In his name we pray. Amen. So just before I give the blessing, just a quick number of announcements here, actually. There are Bible studies that are continuing through Zoom. There's a ladies' Bible study that meets on Tuesdays, and you have to phone my wife if you want to get more information about times. The men's Bible study are still is running Saturday morning through Zoom, and you're more than welcome to come and join us there. We'd love to have you. And so there are things going on. The youth are meeting through the Zoom technology. So, just keep praying for all of those things. And just want to give you a quick note to say that there is ways for those of you who are part of this church to give your tithes and your offerings. You can do it through an e-transfer, your bank account directly into the church. And there will be a screen on that's going to show you a little more information about that. And the other thing, if you're not into e-transfer, that's not part of your lingo, you can still just bring a check and drop it off at the church office here. And that will be looked after as well. So if you're looking for ways to give, those are a couple ways. For benediction this morning, I want to read this great, great blessing from the book of Hebrews. So receive the blessing. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So thank you again for joining us today. Go in peace and serve the Lord this week.